Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Some people are terrified of terrorists, and for good reason. In Kenya, Nigeria, Pakistan, Iraq, places like that, there's lots of people are dying. But then there's other people who are terrified of being mistaken for a terrorist by the very people, the police or the intelligence forces, that should be protecting them. So this week I'm looking at documentaries about the war on terror playing at Hot Docs, Toronto's International Documentary Film Festival starting today. And on a lighter note, a science fiction movie about sexy robots. Warriors from the North, directed by Soren Steen Jespersen and Nasib Farah. So Al-Shabaab is a Somalia-based fundamentalist militant group that sprung up in reaction to Ethiopia's invasion of that country. Now, its members claim responsibility for notorious events like the 148 people gunned down at Garissa University College a few weeks ago, and the massacre at a Nairobi shopping mall also in Kenya. So this movie is about the young ethnic Somalis from Nordic countries, Denmark, Finland, Norway, who join the group to act as suicide bombers. Why do they do it? Well, in a series of interviews, a young Somali-Danish man explains. He says, members come to recruit despondent young men who feel they have no future and don't fit in. The local mosques are strongly against Al-Shabaab. Killing is condemned, but the recruiters deride these people as weak. So the movie opens with a shocking scene. Somalis at their graduation in Djibouti, all young doctors, blown up by a Danish suicide bomber. So the movie follows an older man, a father who works at the Tivoli Gardens in Copenhagen, whose son has disappeared with Al-Shabaab and gone to Somalia. So father is desperate to find his son, even to talk to him on the phone, just to convince him to give it all up and come back home again. But as becomes clear in recordings of Al-Shabaab members, you couldn't leave there even if you want to. It's a very touching story. Help us find Sunil Tripathi, directed by Neil Brofman. Sunil is a straight-A student, a saxophone player, and all-around nice guy. But after a few years at Brown University, Ivy League college, things start going bad. He's depressed, and one day he just walks away from it all and disappears. So his family is devastated. And along with sympathetic volunteers, they start a huge search party looking for him on foot in Providence, Rhode Island, and online using Facebook. They post his face and a plea to him, come home, Sunil, we love you, please come home. So soon after, there's a horrific attack that stunned the world. It was the bombing of the Boston Marathon. So the city's locked down for a massive manhunt, and somehow on Reddit and Twitter, somehow someone decides that those blurry images of a man in a white hat is Sunil, this missing kid. So Sunil is a terrorist, they say. So it goes viral, and the family and friends searching for their wonderful lost brother are subject to what can only be described as an online lynching of the missing boy. The film chronicles this harrowing period when they're flooded by venomous online attacks, and as always, a voracious mass news media desperately trying to catch up with social networks. Terror, directed by David Felix Sutcliffe. So about 50% of the arrests the FBI makes in its war on terror are actually targeted sting operations using paid informants. And some are more dubious than others. So this doc looks at both sides of just such an operation with the asset and the target. Saeed, aka Sharif, is a bit of a character. He's an older African-American Muslim man, former Black Panther, who is an informant, paid informant for the FBI, and without telling the feds, he allows a filmmaker to follow him around. his job to attract and entrap potential POIs. That means persons of interest within urban Muslim communities who might be ripe for terrorism in the eyes of the FBI. So who's the target of this case? Khalifa, a white convert to Islam in Pittsburgh, who sports a long beard and a gown and a turban. So FBI says Khalifa sympathizes with Al-Shabaab. How do they know? Because he writes his views, his outspoken views publicly on Facebook. Everybody knows. So cameras start falling around both Sharif and Khalifa without either one knowing the other one has the camera. And Khalifa tells the filmmakers he suspects an FBI informant is trying to entrap him. So he doxes the informant and plans a press conference. But then something happens. I won't give away the ending. So this real-life dramatic thriller is part absurd comedy, part tragedy, as it goes behind the scenes to show the FBI excesses in their war on terror. Okay, the previous three cases are all small-scale stories. The next one is as big as they get. A War of Lies, directed by Matthias Bittner. So Rafid al-Janabi is a prospective refugee in the late 1990s. He flees Iraq to escape Saddam Hussein, but in Germany, he's singled out as a person of interest by their secret service. Despite the fact he has nothing much to tell them, he decides he'll play along. Maybe it'll speed up the refugee status process. So he tells them he's a chemical engineer who works in an MIC, that's military industrial complex in Iraq, and that he had access to a secret unit in the desert that makes bioweapons. The thing is, the UN already closed that unit down. But Rafid concocts an explanation that couldn't be disproven. Saddam, he says, drives his weapons around in three trucks. That's why you could never find them. And he draws a picture of the trucks to support his story. Who can it hurt? And if it overthrows a dictator like Saddam, he thinks, all the better. So, known by the codename Curveball, Rafid doesn't realize that his little weapons of mass destruction story will reach Washington, and after 9/11, it'll be used to justify the entire U.S. invasion, war, death, destruction of Iraq. The entire film shows just Fareed himself, the trickster and storyteller, in a dark, echoey room at a table, recounting his side of the story, illustrated by spooky reenactments, animation, and period footage. This is a great, chilling documentary. Ex Machina, directed by Alex Garland. Caleb, played by Donald Gleason, is a skinny, wimpish, blonde guy who works as a programmer. He wins a lottery to spend a week with Nathan, the secretive CEO of his company, a Google-like conglomerate search engine. So Nathan, played by Aaron Isaac, is a burly guy with a buzz scalp and a bushy black beard. He's obnoxious and aggressive, and he lives in an isolated villa somewhere in a lush rainforest valley. He's also a computer genius. So he brings Caleb there to conduct a Turing test. This is a test that determines whether an artificial intelligence program, AI, can pass as a human. So here's the twist. The AI is Ava, a beautiful female robot played by Alicia Vikander, who Caleb speaks to through a glass wall. They form a sort of relationship. Is it love? As she begins to feel more and more real to him. Aaron tells him she's anatomically correct. Each day, the electric generator in the place shuts off, and when the camera's turned down, that's when she confides in Caleb that Aaron is evil and shouldn't be trusted. So who will Caleb side with? The robot or his boss? Is she really alive or just a robot? And is Aaron alive? Is he a robot? Is Caleb alive? Who's a robot? You don't know! So, is a really interesting movie. It's cool science fiction, but you gotta admit though, it's a total guy fantasy where the women are all machines created by men for their pleasure. It's basically what the movie is, but thing is, the acting is fantastic. There are enough twists, turns, and tension in the plot to keep it very interesting. So I like this movie. Ex Machina opens today in Toronto, and this week you can find Terror, Warriors from the North, A War of Lies, and Help Us Find Sunil Tripathi, all playing starting right now at Hot Docs. Go to hotdocs.ca for showtimes. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.